How do you know when to give up on an idea? How do you know when to stop doing something that isn't working? Man, these are really tough questions. Some of the most brilliant advice that I have given to CEOs and founders and leaders is to ask them a question when they have some issue and said, well, have you tried anything that works better than something else? And invariably they will answer, they'll look up at the sky and they'll think about it and they'll say, we've tried one or two things. It seemed to work better than other things. And then I lay down just some brilliance on them. It just completely sends them back almost flat on their back. They're so stunned with the brilliant response. And that is, well, do more of that. Stop doing this stuff that ain't working. It's a comical moment, but boy, is it true. Now the rub is to try to figure out what does work, what isn't working. And that can be really difficult. We live in a day and age, and if it's internet related or if it's got some type of a real hard metrics that you can, you know, lay down on it, then you can measure it. And some people are really into that stuff. An awful lot of people are not into that stuff, and they really don't want to go to the trouble of it. I don't know that it's all that complicated. I mean, there are some key measurements. I don't care what you're doing. Spend some time and think about what are the key measurables here. I don't think you've got to be a calculus nerd to figure it out. It may be inventory turns. It may be revenue. It may be profit. Maybe profit margin. It may be inventory levels. It may be fuel consumption. It may be miles per gallon. I don't know what it is because I don't know what your circumstance or situation is, but I do know that there are some key numbers that will give you strong indication as to the direction of the thing, your decision. Business at its most foundational level is simply problem solving, decision making. That's it. You know, we're making decisions and we're solving problems. And if we make better decisions and if we solve bigger problems, then we tend to be able to make more money. So think about the key numbers. Don't get focused on the things that don't matter. There are a lot of what now have become known as vanity metrics. Vanity metrics might be Twitter followers, Facebook likes. Well, do those things matter? No, not really. Not unless they translate into something more meaningful, like sales or customers. So you've got to really think about the numbers that kind of help you gain traction, where the rubber meets the road kind of numbers. And again, I don't know what those might be for your business, so you're really going to have to think about it and decide what matters to you. And some of the numbers, they may leap out. I mean, we can tell when we're getting a new customer. We can tell the number of sales we're making. We can calculate our average sale. We can calculate the revenues that we're generating. But there may be numbers that lead to those numbers that are important. For instance, in the sales industry, in any sales industry, it's pretty commonplace. How many people do you need to get in front of? How many presentations, for instance, might you need to make before you're going to get a sale, before you're going to convert one of those audience members of your presentation into a buying customer? That number is important. And it's a number that I don't think you should just accept as gospel, meaning, well, we need to talk to 20 people before we get one customer. Then keep talking to 20 people, but you need to try to improve on that number. What is it that we're doing that we might could do better so that maybe we could convert one out of every 18 presentations instead of 20? So you're not only looking for improvement of a number, but you're looking for the efficiency to help you get to that number, that converted number, faster. When it comes to the question, how do you know when to quit? How do you know when to pivot? How do you know when to stop doing something? How do you know if something's working or not? You've got to be measuring. You just have to be measuring. Now, I'm a very intuitive guy, and my intuition is not only pretty strong, but historically it's been fairly accurate. And I learned as a young man that I had to become an evidence-based leader, because when you do get it wrong, and we all do, it just feels awful. It just feels absolutely awful. So I'm a guy who's always looking for the evidence. And quite frankly, too many of us, even the most logical among us, we can follow all kinds of noise in our head trash, inner critic, call it whatever you will, because we ascribe meaning to things where there really isn't any meaning, and there really isn't even any evidence of a meaning. It's very difficult for most of us to view circumstances and situations as neutral, because we project things onto them. We either see the worst in it, some of us see the best in it. And so some can go through life with rose-colored glasses and really not see clearly the dangers. Others of us can see the absolute worst and rob ourselves of seeing an opportunity that might would propel us forward. So be careful. Yeah, be careful with the noise in your own head. Be careful with the noise that's in other people's heads. We can start listening to people, and not only are we listening to them, but we're listening to their jaded perspectives as well, because they may be just as confused and have just as much head trash as we've got, or more. And that doesn't tend to help us. It is one reason that I have been embarking in helping a gentleman by the name of Leo Battari. Go to leobattari.com. That's B-O-T-T-A-R-Y. Leo's co-author of a book called the book is called The Power of Peers. The podcast that I'm helping him produce is called Year of the Peer. And it's one reason that we really need to surround ourselves with good people, people who have our best interest at heart, because when you have a variety of perspectives from other people, then that can help us overcome not only our own head trash and our own inner critic and help us see things a bit more clearly, but it can also help us figure out how to know and how to gauge whether or not we're making the progress that we need to make, so that we can decide with some evidence, some real evidence, whether we should quit a thing or not, whether we should pivot, whether we should tweak it, morph it, or just keep doing more of the same. There's always room for improvement. And one of the biggest challenges that I have seen in over the life of my business career has been trying to help other people see what's possible, because we tend to get stuck on these plateaus of believing that where we're at, if it's good, well, this is good. This is really good. Unable to see that it could be so much better. Now, when things are bad, we all tend to think things can get better, and we hope that they'll get better. But as we all know, and as we've all been trained, hope is not a strategy. So don't rely on that. But I would encourage you to think about who you do surround yourself with, because as Leo is fond of saying, who you surround yourself with matters. And it does, and the reason it does is so that you can make better decisions, so that you can figure these kinds of things out better. And that's the objective. Grow Great. That's the podcast, growgreat.com. That's the website. My name, Randy Cantrell. Glad you were here. See you.